WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling, touch a chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling, patting pockets. We take the dollar, dollar, can't a damn soul stop it.
Here comes the new kid on the block. Hold on, your bets. Here's where the buck stops. See, first of all, I'm stepping out on my own.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.com, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. We greatly appreciate it. It was only a matter of time, y'all. It was only a matter of time. I am your host, Lindsay Wharton. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Yeah, we're here. We're live. Hi, everybody. Yeah, it's only a matter.
It's only a matter of time before I botch the plug. I mean, you know, I've been going good for a while. It just, it's a thing. It happens. Your brain just poof. So anyway, yeah, we have a lot to get into tonight. We have a ton of news, several huge stories that broke over the week, and we're talking Money in the Bank tonight, plus we've got NXT SmackDown, Tweet of the Week, all your favorites, because, you know, stuffs.
Yeah, stuffs.
Stuffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Britt. Botch? No, never. Nah. Never. That never happens.
On this show, never.
Yeah, the host never botches anything. I don't know what you're talking about. Live radio, right, guys? Live radio. So anyway, we're going to jump right into the news brought to our friends over at youtube.com/MBG1211. And there are several huge breaking stories from this week, but we have to talk about probably the biggest one, which is that AEW has officially announced their TV deal, that they will be on TNT this fall. So that's huge news to them. Congratulations. That's amazing and awesome. And I'm looking forward to see what they do, though I'm still highly curious about some of the things that they have planned for it.
Yeah, everyone has every right to be very skeptical about the AEW TV. They announced at Warner Media up front yesterday that they will be on TNT this fall.
There's no news on time slot. There's no news on any kind of money that's being exchanged hands. If there is any, this is a very sort of almost ambiguous deal. There's not a lot of transparency to it. So we're going to have to keep an eye on this as the weeks and months progress towards the fall when they get ready to launch their TV. What we do know is it will be a live weekly product. There is no determination on how long the show will be, but it will be live, it will be weekly, and it will be more than likely in a primetime slot, as well as what's being rumored as a place on their streaming service as well. And this is a part of a sort of rebrand that WarnerMedia is doing with TBS Turner in general, mm-hmm. because they're trying to sort of diversify the channels, whereas like TBS was all comedy, TNT is all drama, you know, so on and so forth down the line. And so what they're trying to do is mix up the content on the individual channels to see if they can't draw in ratings and viewers that way, because it's like, yeah, you know, TNT back in the day was a huge drama powerhouse, and now it's sort of dropped off because they just don't have the original series that they once had. So, you know, AEW will be, I'm sure, a breath of fresh air to everybody on TNT. So yeah, it's, I think it's really cool. I think it's really neat. A lot of people see this as a huge hope and a huge step for professional wrestling, because it's starting to bring what could be considered a major competitor to WWE eventually. I think what people sort of need to understand and realize, and what they don't understand and realize, is AEW has to get off the ground before it can ever compete with anybody, let alone WWE. And what I mean by getting off the ground, and somebody else brought up this point as well, is they have to make the business itself successful. Mm-hmm. So they have to turn a profit, they have to draw in the ratings, and they have to do it while on TNT in order to be a success and before they can ever begin to target WWE. Because if they do that right out of the gate and they don't worry about the money, they don't worry about the ratings, they're not going to succeed. So they need to focus on them for a while, get their product up, get it running, get it the way that they want it, and make it successful before they ever go after anybody else.
Can't anoint them because there is no product to anoint. Here's some basic facts of the deal. They're not being paid a rights fee for the content. However, They're being treated as a sport in terms of like the XFL is, their production costs are being covered. They're being covered. Okay, you mentioned comedy and drama, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're a mix between sport and drama, sports entertainment. And I don't want them to ever hear them say they're not sports and entertainment, because according to people, they're being paid by sports, but they're being seen as an entertainment product.
Mm-hmm.
So they're sports. Entertainment. Professional wrestling is sports entertainment, whether they like it or not. That's where their money is coming from, no matter how it's sliced. Couple things we do know. It'll be this fall, as Lindsay mentioned, just by looking at the landscape, they're not on Mondays. They're not on Thursdays. They're not on Fridays. That leaves Tuesday.
Thank God, because I get drunk on Fridays.
That leaves Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Okay? If TNT continues with what they did this winter, AEW will be on Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
Just based off of that. Lindsay mentioned the streaming aspect of this. Bleacher Report Live, BR Live, will be handling their pay-per-views. You can either purchase their Double or Nothing pay-per-view that airs a week from this Saturday for $50 on the BR Live network. We mentioned last week how you can also get that in the UK on their deal. You can also get on traditional pay-per-view for $60 if you so choose. Okay? So those are those facts. There's a lot of talk about what they can draw, how they can draw, who will watch, who won't watch. There are people that say, this is not a war. Then you have Chris Jericho coming out saying, it's a war. I would not use those terms because you haven't produced any content at all. All or nothing counts as nothing because it's not AEW. And that's been made clear and evident every single day since.
Yeah, ROH and Sinclair has made damn sure to point out that that is theirs. They produced it. Mm. They paid for some of the talent. They basically own that pay-per-view. So they're outright coming out of the gate and saying, yeah, Cody doesn't have a product yet. The Bucks don't have a product yet that they can shop. So whatever Double or Nothing is, that is going to be your really first pure...
Yeah.
AEW product, and this is what Double or Nothing will be, whatever AEW is supposed to be. We're going to get a very clear picture of that in 2 weeks. And that's what's going to be really fascinating to watch about this, is what they actually do, because I think it's rumored that part of the reason they got this TV deal is because Tony Khan kind of went in there, worked his magic, and sort of helped get them the deal. I'm sure he's sort of signed a pseudo promissory note on the promotion, basically saying it's fully funded, it's fully back, it's not going to go out of business in a year, I've got it covered in case they don't make their money back. You will get at least a full season. And that's the other thing that we don't know, is it going to be year round? Is it going to be shot in seasons? what is the deal with it? Like, none of that has come out.
And what you did not hear, and then I have to address Ash in the chat room after this,
okay,
is there was never a mention of length.
Uh-uh.
Have they been given a one-season deal? Are they signed for multiple years? When WWE moved to Spike TV, they were given, it was multi-year deal. When Impact moved to Fox Sports, or Spike TV, or even Pop, multi-year deal. None of that was here. And that's where it circles back to, this is being seen as something completely different. Which is good, and also bad. So they have to have success. It's one of those things where they have to build success, but they don't have that long to build success. You can come out of the gate slow and grow. If you continue to grow after 13, 15, 16 weeks, then you're on the right track. But if you peak high and then fall low, there's a cancel button.
Yeah, they're in a very precarious position right now. And we mentioned this before with the TV deal from AEW, is that wrestling ratings are down generally across the board. Impact has fallen from making it all the way up to Spike TV and being in prime time to now not even being on TV. They're on Twitch. WWE is going on Fox and they're going on Viacom, but their ratings are down and they're steadily falling, or they're holding even right at about a 2 share, which is not what they want. That's not what the deals were signed at. The deals were signed at much stronger ratings, and even WWE is being pressured by the two networks to basically get their stuff together and get the ratings up, because a lot of money is being spent on these deals and they're not getting what they're paying for. So now it's, well, do we really want to shell out all this money for a product that has fallen and is continuing to fall and is not showing any signs of improvement? So Cody and the Bucks have that challenge ahead of them, because they will be compared to WWE by the executives at TNT, whether they want to or not. They're going to be compared to Impact. They're going to be compared to ROH. Pretty much any wrestling product that was ever on TV or is currently on TV, it's likely that they're going to be compared to it, because I promise you, the folks over at TNT have done their homework on the wrestling industry as a whole and wrestling on TV in general, and they understand what they're dealing with here. And so it's, like I said, Tony Khan's probably had to come in and say, okay, I've got this. Yeah. Because they don't have a product. They don't have a pilot, essentially, because they don't own their pilot. So they cannot, they can try to go in there and say and go, this is exactly what we're going to do. And TNT can be like, yeah, well, you know, yeah, that's good. But you didn't produce this. You didn't put this together. You know, so what is it really going to be? And that's what makes this really tricky for them. And that's why when I heard about this, I was actually initially shocked that they were able to sign a TV deal with essentially no TV product beyond the YouTube and the one pay-per-view. So it's like, okay, all right, something happened. And that's great for them that they were able to get this deal with essentially nothing but promises, because that's what this really is. Mm-hmm. Let's all be real. It's very realistic promises, and they can completely, totally manifest them. And that's part of it, but it's like they walked in with a bunch of promises that we're going to do X, Y, Z.
Right.
All right. And we're going to do it in this time frame.
To answer Ash, Saturday would be a death slot.
Yeah.
Death.
No, don't put them on slot. Do not put them on Saturday.
Death. Because especially in the fall, you're dead. College football, you're dead.
Yeah.
Number two, the only product they have is YouTube. They have a social media platform that they've grown, but it's worldwide. So you have to take that into consideration and see how a YouTube channel of content translates into success on the mainstream. If they do it, then they have great success. If they cannot, they're in trouble. Because for all these people out there that are craving something different and an alternative, you got to reach them. And the people you're reaching are the internet fan that still keeps up to date with Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live. You got to reach beyond that audience. You have to find that audience.
Yeah, you have to get to those casual fans that are either tired of WWE or they've stopped watching as a whole and they're not really interested in what's going on right now, because what they have said the product will be is more pure wrestling based and not so much storyline, soap opera, drama. So you're hitting already a very niche part of the wrestling community, and that's not to say that we all don't enjoy good wrestling matches, because we do, but a lot of people I know that watch WWE don't necessarily watch it for the wrestling. They watch it for the storylines and the drama and everything else. So you kind of take that out or you reduce that greatly, and you're already cutting a certain portion of your audience that is probably not going to enjoy what you're doing just purely based on your platform and how you're presenting this. So they have to be very, very precise and careful about how they launch this and how they do this. Because, you know, again, you're going for a niche market. You're realistically, your only true household name that you have, and this is not an offense to anybody that's working there, is Chris Jericho.
Then you subtweet that with Cody Rhodes.
You have Cody Rhodes, you have Kenny Omega, and you have the Young Bucks, and they are all names. You have Adam, you have Hangman Page, he's name. Pac, aka Neville, he's a name, not taking anything away from anybody, but if you go up to a casual wrestling fan and you say, you know, you drop Kenny Omega, you drop, you know, Cody Rhodes, who they might know who Cody Rhodes is, they might know who Kenny Omega is, they might know who the Young Bucks are, depends on how into the product they actually are, or they might not. But if you drop Chris Jericho, people are generally going to know who that is, either from acting, from music, from wrestling.
Wait, wasn't he the guy from Dancing with the Stars?
He was the guy from Dancing with the Stars. He is a true household name. And that's really what they've got going for him right now. So it's like you're struggling in the fact that you have one guy to root your product, and then you have the guys right below him who are looking to move up into that household name position. And then you kind of have everybody else that you're trying to elevate and you're trying to build and you're trying to create. So you have to have people that are going to draw in. So this is what I'm saying. For all the internet smarks out there that have screamed and craved and cried and pounded your chest and prayed for it in terms of wanting something that is not WWE, wanting something that's not Impact, wanting something that's not ROH, wanting something with the golden boys of wrestling, because that's what I'm going to call them, which is...
You mean the elite of professional wrestling?
The elite of professional wrestling, where you want to see them. Here's your chance. Show up for it. Okay? You've asked for this. You've begged for this. Watch it. Show up for it.
It's the truth, Brent. That's what it is.
What did you do?
Because I said the word elite.
Oh, elite? Bro. Lit.
Lit.
Anyway, yeah, that's my only thing. It's like, because there is a target market, because they're looking at a very specific set of fans, those fans need to, in turn, especially everybody who's like talking it up and saying it's the second coming of Jesus in terms of professional wrestling, all these different things. You need to show up and you need to watch it.
Now, one other thing. There is another household name that we are completely forgetting about.
Hmm.
Earl Hebner signed on to be a professional wrestling referee for AEW.
Good for Earl. Congratulations to Earl. I just find it really interesting that they want to kill the Attitude Era, and yet more and more of the Attitude Era is seemingly creeping into AEW. Yeah. I find that highly ironic.
Also, congratulations to Aubrey Edwards and Paul Turner, also signed to AEW as professional wrestling referees.
Ding! I like that they signed a chick. That's very nice.
Yep.
I liked it that they did that. I would suspect she's going to do the women's matches, but if she does all the matches, that's fine too. So, moving on from there, there's another huge story that broke involving one Lars Sullivan. Now, we all know, we all remember Lars's difficulties. He was off TV and off the road for a very long time because he kind of had a small mental issue, small mental moment. I don't want to call it a breakdown because I don't think it was a breakdown, but he couldn't handle it, and so he went home.
And a lot has to do, from what's coming out now, has a lot to do with what he's going under sensitivity training for.
Yeah, so basically what happened is when he was getting ready to be called up, people went out onto these message boards and they found a whole bunch of crap that he had posted way back in like 2012, where it was sexist, racist, homophobic, I mean, all the things, all the phobics, all the negativity, and it was just super duper wrong. And so people basically came at him in force when he was getting ready to get called up, and I believe that did play a factor in his breakdown slash mental moment, where he just could not handle the pressure. Well, since he's come back, that issue has resurfaced. It's not as loud as it was, but there are still people calling him out. There are people that have been tweeting WWE superstars about it. Big E has responded to it. And so basically, it came to the attention of WWE that this has happened. And so I think they knew about it before, because I would have to say that they knew about it. And so they did the only thing they really could do, which is they fined him $100,000. And he has to undergo sensitivity training for what he said. Now, what's cool about this, okay, because there is a cool thing that came out of this, is that supposedly Lars walked up to specific individuals. Titus O'Neil was one of them, but he sought out other people. And he genuinely apologized for his behavior. And he asked how he could be a better person. That, you know, the person from 7 years ago was wrong. How can I do better?
Mm-hmm.
So that shows growth right there, y'all.
It does. It does all. It shows a lot of growth. So he should be commended for that.
He should be commended for that. WWE should be commended. I know a lot of people are a little upset about this because they're like, well, why did you hire him in the first place? Da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, well, they hire a lot of problematic people. They're not so much interested in their personal views unless it's just really so terrible that
He's
they have to
the
let them go.
Thank you, Go Home Wrestling Show, for hosting us. Thank you. Hi.
Hey, thank you. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We're sitting here talking about Lars Sullivan. So anyway, he's Rock. I'm Lindsay. Welcome. Thank you. It's just random Bray Wyatt. It's like, I'm not going to argue. Not going to argue because there's my boo-boo.
There
but so anyway, so it's really cool that he's doing that. But, you know, unless it's like a truly problematic issue that somebody has and it gets brought to their attention, they don't generally do anything about it. The biggest one was Zahara Schreiber. Was that her name?
Mm-hmm.
Who was essentially posting Nazi materials on her Twitter, or had been for years back, and somebody went back and found it when she started dating Seth Rollins, and the internet actually ganged up and got her fired. And WWE knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that they don't. They do know about it, but it's like, okay, it was X number of years ago. They're not posting about that now. I believe they do give them a chance to take it down, or since it's so old, they believe people aren't going to find it, but it's the internet. We find everything. And so it just kind of blows up. So rather than firing Lars, they gave him the opportunity to change, or he had demonstrated a level of change that they fined him, and they made him take sensitivity training. So there's that. I mean, it's a step in the right direction, right? And who knows? This could be the first of many things that happen like that, where they go back and they review people's social media, and before it ever even gets to be a problem, they take care of it. Or they just make people wipe their social media.
Pretty much.
So, there you go. Mm-hmm. Last, but certainly not least, in terms of the huge stories that broke, Alexa Bliss has been removed from Money in the Bank, and this is going to lead us into the Blame Brits.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Okay, gonna put all quotations around this one. She's been quote unquote medically not cleared to compete on Sunday. Rumor has it it's a, get the thing ready, concussion.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Rumor has it she's medically not cleared. Whether this is real or fake, you be the judge. Nikki Cross, who replaced her on Monday, is now in the match. Do with it what you will.
It's an interesting situation with Alexa. She hasn't been okay since before WrestleMania, and you're kind of wondering what's really going on with her. I feel like they felt she was ready to get back in the ring. I think she did actually get medically cleared. I believe we talked about it at one point.
She's wrestled.
And now she's not medically cleared again, so something's going on.
Or it's a story.
Or it's a story.
We'll see.
They're doing a thing. We're going to keep an eye on it. We'll let you know. But yes, Alexa Bliss is out of Money in the Bank, and Nikki Cross is in. And while Nikki Cross could win the Money in the Bank, and Alexa Bliss could become her BFF. You don't know. You never know.
You never know. We'll get into that after the break. We got the news to handle.
Yes. So a couple quick notes, and then we're going to get to the last major story. of the week, but I do want to save that one for last. So WWE and the TV Awards, Becky Charlotte and Ronda was nominated for Best Fight, and Roman Reigns was nominated for Best Real Life Hero. So congratulations to everybody there. Hopefully they win. I think you can vote on it, right?
Yeah, you can go to MTV.com and vote. Voting's open now. You can vote once a day or something. It's weird that that's up for an MTV award. Charlotte, Becky, a wrestling match is up to for a award. Because now movie and TV, I guess they actually have a place. So that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. And, I mean, it deserves to be nominated for Best Fight. I mean, Go Home Wrestling Show, could they use this to get Nikki over quick? I don't know if they could use this to get Nikki over quick. They had kind of have some rebuilding. I feel like they have to do with Nikki because they brought her up and then they didn't do anything with her for a really long while. So they have to kind of sort of build her up. But I feel like having her win the Money in the Bank would be a step in the right direction for her. And also putting her with someone like Alexa, who, you know, you can build a feud out of that. As Alexa sort of manipulates Nikki, and or Nikki manipulates Alexa, however you want to do that, would be fine. I think it would work really well.
Nikki Cross being aligned with Alexa Bliss can only do good things for Nikki Cross.
Yeah, that's a sign that they're going to do something with her. Thank God. I miss my Scottish fruitcake. Moving on. Big Show has joined the cast of the TV series Van Helsing. There's no word yet on what character he will be playing, but he is a part of the show, so congratulations to him. Mm-hmm. And we talked last week about how Percy Watson is leaving the NXT announced team and Beth Phoenix is taking his place. Well, turns out Percy Watson is actually leaving WWE altogether so he can pursue his acting career, so congratulations to him. I hope he does very well. And he gets lots of major, major roles. And, well, before we get into the final story, WWE has also announced Super Showdown in Saudi Arabia. It's going to be on June 7th. And, surprise, surprise, we're going to have Triple H versus Randy Orton, a 50-man battle royal, and a really interesting match.
Man, if I am the man they call Sting, I wish I was healthy enough and the Saudis wanted to see me wrestle.
Dude, if I was staying, I'd be so pissed right now. Because they got both of them out of the house for this one. They got both of them to fly to Saudi Arabia. You're going to have, for the first time, I think, ever.
Ever.
Goldberg versus The Undertaker. What? They just dropped that all casual, too. Like, I think it was, like, what, on a Wednesday or something? They were like, oh, hey, boom, by the way.
That's Friday or Saturday.
Goldberg versus Taker. Do with that what you will.
Why not?
What?
So they're carrying over the Super Showdown title, which was the one in Australia, so they're reusing it for Saudi Arabia. Other rumored matches include Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins, matching for a championship, and we'll talk about that in a bit, and a Roman Reigns versus Shane McMahon. These are all up for a conversation for Super Showdown, but those have not been announced. But those three things that Lindsay mentioned are.
Yes. So, shaping up to be an interesting show. We'll have to see how that goes. But yes, and Goldberg has been putting himself out there, showing pictures of him training for the match in Saudi Arabia as he gets ready to go. Taker has been oddly silent on social media, by the way. It's kind of interesting how he re-signed that contract, and we have not seen hide or hair of him since. So,
I mean, yeah. He did show up the night after WrestleMania, I mean.
He did. Well, no, I'm talking about on Instagram.
He's
been liking posts on Instagram, but he really hasn't been posting lately. So I think he thought he was done, and then he's not done, and then it's like, damn it, I have the accounts, so I might as well keep them. So yeah, that's how that goes.
All right.
I want some training footage, Taker. Come on, give it to us. Training footage. Goldberg can do it. All right. We're gonna take a serious turn for a minute. Because this is the last major story, and it's a very, very sad story, and we're not going to necessarily dwell on it, but we do want to report it because it is very noteworthy and it deserves attention. And that is that as of this evening, former Tough Enough alum Ashley Massaro was reported as having died. She was 39 years old, and it's really tragic when someone that young passes away.
I need to correct you one thing.
What?
Diva Search alum.
Oh, that's right. Diva Search. I'm sorry. I can't even get it right. Good Lord. Diva Search alum. And she was a winner, wasn't she?
She was the winner of the Diva Search. She passed away tragically at the age of 39. There was a rescue call made early this morning for her. And she passed away today. It was reported about a couple hours ago that she passed away. a lot of wrestlers, all the girls she worked with have come out on Twitter, said some very nice things about her. And yeah, it's heartbreaking for those who knew her. It's heartbreaking for the community itself. It sucks, especially for someone that young.
Yeah.
We all know she's had some struggles in her life, and those are what they are. Dying at 39 is very tragic, and this is a tragic situation. So we hope her family, give them the best. Hopefully everyone will come to peace with this at some point.
Yeah, there is no cause of death announced, but it is being investigated. And so to all her family and friends and loved ones and everybody that's hurting by this loss, we extend our deepest condolences and sympathies with you, or to you. Please know that our hearts are with yours, and, you know, hopefully everybody can, in time, move forward with their lives.
Now, it was mentioned in chat, so I'm going to bring this up.
Yeah.
Ric Flair's okay at the moment. He is going to undergo a procedure tomorrow. He should make a full recovery.
Yeah, this was playing the Ric Flair thing. The Ric Flair thing is that supposedly he was rushed to the emergency room this afternoon, when in actuality he had a planned procedure that he's going to have done before he does Starcade. Or not Starcade, StarCast.
Yeah. It is reportedly related to the pacemaker. He's probably going to make sure everything's working good, and he's had some issues, but he'll be okay if everything goes as planned. So there's the serious downer moments of the show.
Yes, so we're going to bring the show back up. We're going to be happy, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to talk all about NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So this episode was about the Viking Raiders and their tag team championships. They came out, basically said they called out Mr. Regal, said there's no one that can beat them, and they were out to give up the belts. Before they could do so, the Street Profits came out. They said, "We came really close to beating you guys, and we know you can beat it. We know we can beat you guys." And the best line of it was, they said deep down the Raiders know that the Profits can beat the Raiders. Dawkins mentioned, "If that's even your real name." See what he did there?
Mm-hmm.
So they said, "Make the match." So they did. And that will be your main event. So there's that. Good opening program. Promo. Good start to the show. We had Undisputed Era. They were bickering. Well, they weren't. They showed the recap of the bickering. Then Kathy is interviewing Undisputed Era. No Roderick Strong. Where's Roddy? There was questions whether it's Adam Cole the leader. Adam reassures he's the leader. Then you see people running in the background, running to go check on something. And then Roderick Strong comes back from the way that everyone else is running, and he's holding a flip-flop that's covered in blood. He goes, "Remember that Matt Riddle problem? It's good when we're back on the same page, because I just handled that Matt Riddle problem." And then Cole gave him the armband, and they're back. So what we're meant to assume is Matt Riddle got his ass whooped by Roderick Strong.
Or Roderick Strong has some kind of magical powers, and he, like, materialized Matt Riddle into a flip-flop.
Not quite. But hey, good thought.
But yeah, okay, so the Undisputed Era boys, they're back on the same page for right now, but there's still very much tension. They're still bickering. Kyle O'Reilly is still very confused about what's going on. He doesn't know who to trust. He's a little worried. Somebody please reassure him, because he seems a little scared. Bobby, go take care of that. But yeah, we're building the tension between Adam Cole and Roderick Strong, and we're kind of doing that false sort of, yeah, everything's fine right now, until the next implosion happens. Very fun.
That's very fun. Kathy Kelly announced that Shayna Baszler will take on Io Shirai at NXT TakeOver for the NXT Women's Championship, Forgotten Sons. And dude, Regal's office, and then they want their title shot. Before they can get their title shot, Keith Lee beat Cesar Bonani, and Kushida beat Kona Reeves. Good stuff all around there in those two matches.
Kushida is such a pleasure to watch.
He is.
He really, really is. Truly is.
Bianca Belair and Mia Yim sort of bickered back and forth, and they're going to have a match against each other here coming up soon.
I love this rivalry between the two. Also, we should congratulate Bianca Belair, because she graduated this past weekend. from the University of Tennessee. So congratulations to her. Achievement well done. Because she's, you know, the EST.
Yeah. Oh, something I forgot to mention about the Kushida and Kona Reeves matches. Drew Gulak was taking an eye on the matches as well, so.
You know, if they want to do Kushida versus Drew Gulak, I'm not going to complain about that.
Matt Riddle was seen being taped up alongside Johnny Gargano. Gargano says, knows Dennis Videro is like after him. And, well, looks like it's Gargano and Cole at TakeOver.
Oh, goddamn. I mean, you know, I just don't know if I can accept that in my life. I mean, Jesus. Cole versus Gargano. I mean, God.
Vanessa Bourne defeated Jesse. It was okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
It's okay. And then it was your main event. Eric and Ivar, the Viking Raiders, took on the Street Profits for the NXT Tag Team Championships. Match ended with no clear winner as the Forgotten Sons ran out and they attacked Ivar for DQ. Birch and Lorcan came out as well. All the teams battled. All the teams fought. In the end, the Raiders stood tall to end the show.
A good way to write the Viking Raiders off of NXT and move them up to the main roster fully. I'm a little sad that they had to give up their titles as opposed to losing them. I think they would have preferred to lose them. I don't know, though. But I'm glad that they did it in this fashion. It was very respectful, and it was just all around a well-told story for the show. Do I lose points in fantasy for that?
No, because they did not lose them.
Okay, never mind. I love it because I didn't lose points in fantasy.
You actually gained points because it was actually technically a successful title defense.
Hey, one more before they go. All right.
But yeah, so it appears they're all now. We'll see who comes champion at the probably TakeOver.
Okay.
But that's all right. That's NXT.
That's NXT. So we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be doing Tweet of the Week. And we're going to be talking all about this Sunday's Money in the Bank. We're going to break it down. We're going to tell you who we think is going to win and who think we's going to lose. And, you know, just general BS all surrounding that. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will be right back. You can see in the best you can buy. Money on the floor, but it reached to the sky. I was born a celebrity. Pocket feeling like a one-man treasury. Ha! And it's all about your bank, man. You're a one. I'm a Franklin. You got no money. That's a shame when I can spend a million before my private plane lands. Ha! Living out your dream. But it all feels average to me. Money wins, and you know what that mean. I'ma tell you like my dad did me. Money talk.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every week, we jump into the world of
awesome
with the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, I don't care. Kid gets toys.
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs., available weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support the creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's our OCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
Hey, this is Ken and Anita Corsini from Flipper Flop Atlanta. Check out the Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. For our friends over at MBG Films, check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at rackradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Like we said, if you get a quick second, you know, check out MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Or if you have a Twitch Prime sub and you want to check the button up at the top of the screen and see if you have one, you're welcome to use it here or anywhere else that you like. No pressure, but we'd really like you to use it here. So anyway, that sound means only one thing, that, you know, we're talking money, money in the bank. But before we do that, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Garth Franklin, Avengers beat off Pikachu at the box office. Ryan Reynolds, Pikachu is a family film.
I see what he did there.
Yeah. Biggie Langston, my screen time is at 100% of every waking moment I have. I will make no effort to change it. It will be the death of me. So be it. He continues, in addition to the wild card rule, I proposed a wild cat rule. In any given segment, a wild mountain lion or panther can be released in the arena. Good luck, Big E. I promise to keep my thoughts to myself when you crazy kids are doing your in-ring gymnastics and scissoring high spots in the year 2040. And last but certainly not least, Big E. I'm committing the remainder of my off time going door to door like a Jehovah's Witness, asking people if they watch Barry HBO and SHO Kidding. Pamphlets included.
He's been very busy on Twitter.
Oh my god, the poor guy. He's stuck at home and he's just, all he has is a phone and a 10-foot charger cable.
Yep.
That's it.
All right, is that all you got?
That's all I got.
All right. Caleb Brexton. I'm in Sweden. Turned on the shower in my hotel and the thing went everywhere. Hotel room flooded and I'm in my pajamas and dripping wet. Needless to say, I'm terrified of the shower and will not be taking one. So Norway, I'm coming to you, and I'm coming to you stinky.
Okay.
And then we're then we have a little bit of a conversation that started on the Twitters.
Mm-hmm.
Becky Lynch. I have to get this all in order, and Twitter doesn't like putting things in order. Becky Lynch, don't get too close to that title, at the Beth Phoenix. No worries, Beth Phoenix. No worries, Becky Lynch. I'm just glad that we are friends and not steaming over a silly little detail like being tied for a number of title reigns. Cheers. And then Becky goes, yeah, we're neck and neck. And it posts a picture of Becky and Edge. Edge, listen, the man. You're doing good stuff for yourself now, kid. We all can all find the footage of your steampunk phase with a familiar entrance where you attempted Edge Light and fell. So be gone with you, Becky. You know, you're right, Edgester. They want me to be nicer and social, and I forgot. On this day, I see clearly. Everything has come to life. Pals.
Oh, Becky.
Edge, well, that was like clubbing a baby seal. Quick white flag, but I accept your surrender, grasshopper. Never mess with a master. Hashtag wax on, hashtag wax off. Beth. Wait, are we involving our men now? And this is where the internet went. Oh! Becky, I'll ask him. ... At WWE Rollins? The internet went, The internet went a little heartbroken, a little nuts on this one, I think.
The internet done broke on this one. That's what happened.
They broke the internet on that one, and then he posted a picture of them kissing later. So
yeah, he's like, I guess I could post this now. And then, like, WWE loses their minds. Everybody loses their minds. So I say this. Seth, honey, sweetheart, Pookie, if you cheat on her and you screw this up, we will come for your soul. That's all I'm saying. We love you, but we will come for your soul.
So Bray Wyatt was on Twitter.
Oh God, what did he do now?
Dear Roman Reigns and WWE Rollins, I just want to let you know that I am super sorry for all the atrocities I have committed against you guys over the years. If you ever need a third for a Shield reunion, we are totally down. Best friends? Question mark.
Oh no.
P.S. I miss you too, at John Moxley.
He does. He misses Dean so much.
Mm-hmm. Fortnite brought up there how the Summer Block Party and how they're having a celebrity pro-am. And one of the pairings is Dr. Lupo and Jordan Fisher and Dylan Francis and Coxie, two well-known streamers. Dylan Francis goes, we about to win this, Coxie. We got our coach, Tfue. Okay. Dr. Lupo, hey, Jordan Fisher, point and laugh with me. They think they stand a chance. Coxie, isn't it past your bedtime, old man?
Ooh.
Jordan just, brother, I'm cackling. And Lupo goes, LMAOOOO. Other teams think they have a chance. Y'all, I have Jordan Fisher, the perfect human. Please just quit now.
I mean, he does. He really, really does. You put the two nicest guys you could together, and Lupo will just end people, and Jordan Fisher will just smile, and they'll melt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how anybody expects to stand any chance against them in person. They're just going to, like, destroy everyone. It's going to be amazing. I don't know how their gameplay is going to be. It's could be okay, could not be okay. But, I mean, in person, we're just going to see faces melt.
Mm-hmm. Dylan Francis, I'm perfect because I'm imperfect. And he can do new Jordan, Lupo, I'm coming for y'all. Cloak and I got you in our sights.
I just like that they tried to put, like, all the streaming couples together.
Oh, and
I really appreciate that they did that.
Mm-hmm. Also, continued, you too, Pokimane. No one is safe. And then Big E, finally. To offset my financial burden during this trying time, I'm prepared to sell out all my coworkers. Want to know what color drawers Gorgeous is wearing on a Friday? Hit my Venmo. Iconic feet pics? Hit my Venmo. And then people started sending him money.
They did.
It's weird.
They really did. They actually did send him money. It was like, what?
Anyway, that's Tweet of the Week.
That's Tweet of the Week. So now we get to talk about Money in the Bank, which airs this Sunday live on the WWE Network starting at
7 p.m.
7 p.m. because I'm still getting used to the time adjustment. And yeah, this has been an interesting pay-per-view. As we mentioned earlier in the show, Alexa Bliss is out of the Money in the Bank match due to a quote-unquote unspecified injury. She's just not medically cleared. So Nikki Cross has replaced her. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes.
Start at the bottom and work our way up.
We got to start at the bottom and work our way up, like he said. So the first match we are going to talk about is the SmackDown Tag Team Champions are on the line maybe, as your planets.
Maybe. We don't know for sure. It might be non-title. They haven't really said.
Anyway, the Planets champions Daniel Bryan and Rowan are taking on the Usos on the pre-show.
Interesting. Daniel Bryan's on a pre-show match. Interesting.
Very interesting.
If it's for the belts, Bryan and Rowan go over. I could also see the Usos getting and giving them a reason to come to SmackDown Live on Tuesday night for a title match. I could see that definitely happening. But I'm gonna go Daniel Bryan and Rowan. They beat them for the belts. It makes sense to continue to push them and put them over. I'm going with them.
Again, I would wholeheartedly laugh if, like, Luke Harker came out and kicked Eric in the face because, you know, like you do. And yeah, I would do that for sure. But, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I say Daniel and Eric at the very least retain, if not win.
All right. So, Magic 8-Ball, will Daniel Bryan and Rowan beat the Usos on Sunday? The 8-Ball says don't count on it, so they're going with the Usos. I'm doing this part just to help Brent, okay?
Okay.
Omega's picking Bryan and Rowan. Heartbreak Mike is picking Bryan and Rowan, because I did all this. And Tim is picking Bryan and Rowan. This is to make Brent's life easier, and he doesn't have to track down picks.
Aw, you're so nice.
Next match.
The Cruiserweight Champion, Tony Nese, is taking on Aria Daivari in, I believe, a title defense.
This is a title match.
Yes. I'm just going to say Tony Nese retains. No offense to Aria Daivari, but he just got the title. I don't see a reason to take it off of him unless you have to.
I'm going Tony Nese as well. Magic 8-Ball, will Tony Nese retain the title on Sunday? All signs point to yes, along with Tim saying yes, that he'll retain. And so do Omega and Mike. So we're all picking Tony Nese. Which means, and new.
Right, basically. And I mean, if Aria wins, that's fine too. He would be a more than deserving champion. So either way is fine. This is fine.
Now let's get into some matches with some stories that we know.
Yes. All right. The heated battle between The Miz and Shane McMahon, I believe, is going to reach its epic conclusion in the fact that you have The Miz taking on Shane McMahon in a steel cage match. This is the follow-up to their epic battle at WrestleMania, where Shane beat Miz by a nose, or I should say an elbow, after they took a dive off one of the camera towers.
This one could be good.
This one could be fun. This one could be very fun if the street fight is any indication. This is going to be a ton of fun to watch. They are clearly not afraid to get their hands dirty. They're not afraid to get physical. They're not afraid to just beat each other up. So I feel like this is going to be a really good conclusion to this, whatever this is, or this is going to be a pre-conclusion, whatever you want to call this. But I feel like they're moving Shane on to Roman Reigns. And so Miz is going to kind of sort of take a step back and go do his thing. So we're going to kind of see the temporary conclusion at least. And yeah, this should be a lot of fun to watch.
It should not be more than 10-12 minutes. You're going to see Shane bounce a lot into the cage. A lot of Shane McMahon tried to escape the cage, probably. And you may see a B team get involved as, you know, henchmen for Shane McMahon.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Roman maybe doesn't show up in this. It would be hard to say. But I would also wouldn't be surprised if Miz doesn't get some backup.
You never know. In terms of winner, I'm going Miz.
I feel like Miz has to win just to move him forward onto his next match. You can have Shane lose and maybe he vents his frustrations out on Roman Reigns.
Shane never needs to win.
Yeah, Shane's the evil boss. He doesn't need to win. You had him win at WrestleMania. Now Miz has something to prove, especially to himself and his father. And you have that wonderful, glorious moment of Shane standing, or I should say Miz standing in the middle of the ring victorious. His dad will probably be there just as an FYI to everybody. And so he wins the big one in front of his dad, completing the story. So there you go.
So Magic 8-Ball, will Shane McMahon beat The Miz on Sunday? 8-Ball says Shane McMahon. Omega says Shane McMahon. Mike says Miz. Tim says Miz.
Why is the 8-Ball such a treacherous whore? I mean, my God. Really? That's so rude.
What's next?
Up next, you have, because speaking of Roman Reigns taking on Elias.
Don't make this a long match. Don't draw
Please don't make this long.
Don't draw this out. Don't. 7-8 minutes, perfectly acceptable. And 3 minutes of Elias singing beforehand. It's all you need. It's all you really need. this is where Shane McMahon could get back involved in Roman's. I don't see Roman getting involved in Shane's match. I see Shane getting involved in Roman's.
It all depends on where they fall, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's the trick with this, is where in the card is Roman's match going to fall, and where in the card is Miz's match going to fall? Because that's going to determine the interference. Now, I can't see the B-team in Shane's match. I can see them here, interfering with Roman, trying to help Elias. Like, I see Shane's henchmen all teaming up together and going after Roman, and then you see Shane come out after the fact and do something, or Roman wins and Shane comes out and he's like, no, you did XYZ, you know, restart the match this time with some kind of crazy stipulation on it to ensure that Elias wins. Like, I can see them doing something like that mm-hmm. with this match.
Yeah, I could see that as well. Who you got?
I almost feel like Elias has to win. And here's...
Okay, I want to hear this.
So, Shane screws Roman with Elias.
Mm-hmm.
And I know phrasing, right? Phrasing. But here's the thing. You're trying to build up a feud where Shane McMahon is trying to hold Roman Reigns down. And Roman and Shane are having issues. So Shane, using his power and abusing his power, finds a way to cost Roman the match and give the win to Elias, thus fueling Roman's hatred of Shane and continuing the feud. Because I feel like if you have Roman beat Elias, especially if there's any kind of interference on this, where do you go with that? Like, how do you tell that story, especially if Shane does nothing to stop it or doesn't get involved or anything like that? Like, how do you continue that story? It's just Roman's like, huh, beat your henchman. Oh, well, LOL. Like, I just feel like in order to continue the story, especially on the turmoil side of it, you have Elias win, like beat Roman Reigns. You get, and plus that will do wonders for Elias. It'll put him in a much more prominent position, which if they decide to move him into a title picture, they totally can because he's beating Roman Reigns. I feel like that would just be more good than Roman wins.
Logically, that all makes sense. I'm going Roman Reigns.
I'm
going
to say Elias.
Hey, Magic 8-Ball, will Elias beat Roman Reigns at Money in the Bank? 8-Ball says yes to Elias.
It's lying. It knows I called it a whore, and so now it's trying to appease me.
Tim, Omega, and Mike are picking Roman Reigns. Next.
Up next in what could be called the awkward feud of the year, because if you've been watching wrestling long enough, like we both have, then you remember this is kind of a callback feud. So you have Rey Mysterio with his son, grown Dominic, taking on U.S. champion Samoa Joe.
We make reference to this in another podcast called The Rack Extra Reviews, SmackDown 20 Years and Counting, available now at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
I have to take my glasses off for this because I'm laughing too much. I just don't even know what to do with this. Like, you have Joe doing an excellent job with this. Don't even get me wrong on that. Like, Joe has been superb in this feud as a heel. You have Ray being pure babyface. And then there's Dominic. Poor Dominic, who's just like 20 years old, running around backstage with his dad, and he's having to deal with all this crap from Samoa Joe. And I wouldn't doubt that he had to go to therapy for what happened with the whole Eddie Guerrero storyline years ago. But Joe keeps making references back to it. Like, legit references back to it. It's just like, why are you doing this to us? Other than it's genius, why? So, yeah, that's why this match is like really super awkward, because now Joe's like basically claiming he's Dominic's father, and it's like, no, we all know who Dominic's father is. Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
That was already decided years ago. Just don't even go there with this. So, yeah. I don't even know where to go with this. Is this a Dominic on the pole match?
No,
I mean,
it's a U.S. title match, and I'm picking Samoa Joe to win.
Yeah, Joe, all the way. Joe.
8-Ball, is Samoa Joe Dominic's father? Better not tell me.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Okay.
Will Samoa Joe retain the title on Sunday, 8-Ball? Yes.
There you go.
Let's see. Omega has Joe. Mike has Rey Mysterio. And Tim has Rey Mysterio. There you go.
There you go. All right, moving on. The women's Money in the Bank ladder match, which features Nikki Cross, who subbed out for Alexa Bliss, Dana Brooke, Natalya, Naomi, Bayley, Ember Moon, and Carmella versus Mandy Rose. Interesting group of people. Very interesting mix.
It's a very interesting collective of people. Cool. Awesome. You can listen, tune in, radio, to search Wild Talk Radio Network. Okay. let's go with people who won't win. Natalya will not win Money in the Bank.
No.
Naomi will not win Money in the Bank.
As much as we all want her to, no, she will not.
Carmella's won it and won't win Money in the Bank. There are a bunch of people in the Dana Brooke camp that could say, hey, she's worked hard, very, very hard lately. She deserves it.
There's a lot of people in the writing staff in particular and management who are behind Dana Brooke. And that's why you're starting to see her get a push, is because she has really dedicated herself to learning her craft and to improve. And she shows up early. She puts the ring together. She breaks it down. She's gone to the PC in her off time to train. She's really made a supreme effort to get better. Because I think she knew that she wasn't the best. And she got called up. She was one of those that got called up and probably needed another 6 months to a year down in NXT just so they could really polish her. And she didn't get that opportunity. It's kind of like Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin was kind of in that same position. And so she struggled on the main roster quite a bit. And so now she's getting an opportunity again to really show what she's done with herself and with her career. So I honestly don't know if I would be 1,000% opposed to Dana Brooke winning.
Okay, she's in the maybe category.
I could see them giving it to Bailey, especially Becky wins, because you can have Bailey taunt Becky.
You could, but I don't expect Bailey to win.
No, but I wouldn't mind that.
I wouldn't mind it. It'd be a perfect opportunity for her to use it and reestablish herself. That's perfectly fine. But I feel like she's going to get a championship match no matter what. I don't think she needs the Money in the Bank.
Mm-mm.
She's in the, she could win, she doesn't need it.
Right.
Then it boils down to Nikki Cross, Ember Moon, and Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose is the choice that you would assume they would be very high on, because she has improved. They are very high on her skill-wise, and she's a heel. Heels holding the briefcase makes sense. She also has Sonya by her side at times, so that could lead to an easy championship win for her down the road, and then a feud between Mandy and Sonya for the championship down the road.
Or that could cost her.
It also could cost her. Ember Moon could use the rocket. She could use that boost of energy given by the Money in the Bank briefcase, because she needs it. She's been out injured. She's sort of trying to reestablish herself. Now that she's on SmackDown, she needs to be re-elevated. So giving her the briefcase would do wonders for her. And then there's Nikki Cross, who, pairing with Alexa, could do really nice things. It's another one to establish themselves and needs a boost. So my three are Nikki, Mandy, and Ember. I'm having a hard time choosing. Who you got?
I'm kind of with Bailey. I've got the four.
Okay.
I completely 100% agree on Nikki and Ember. I think either of those would be a quality choice to win Money in the Bank. It would give them exposure that they both desperately need. I feel like Ember needs it just a tad bit more than Nikki, because they're putting Nikki with Alexa, but Ember has suffered from injuries. She's had a lot of problems, you know, since really before coming up. So for her, it would make absolute sense to give her the Money in the Bank, because she could just, again, she could run around with it and she could just absolutely taunt your champions. And I think that would be a really, really good use of her. And then eventually you could put the title on her with the Money in the Bank. I'm just trying to think of who could be the champion that she could be, but it doesn't matter. As long as you put the title on her, it's fine. In terms of who's winning, God, this is hard. This is super difficult to pick. Because it's like, who do you pick? It's like picking your favorite child. You can't do it. How do parents do this? Hard.
Okay. I could say, hey, I can go with the points and go Mandy Rose, but I don't realistically need the points. I'm kind of just running away with the fantasy. So, I'm gonna go Ember.
I'm gonna go Nikki Cross.
8-Ball. Will Mandy Rose win Money in the Bank this Sunday? 8-Ball says yes.
Very definitive.
Omega says Mandy Rose. Heartbreak Mike says Nikki Cross. Tim says Ember Moon. So they were in the same camp as we were.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Next.
Up next, we have the first of two defenses for the man, Becky Lynch, where the SmackDown title is on the line. She has a match with Charlotte. And again, it's going to be really interesting where this match falls on the card, as well as the one with Lacey Evans, if this is first or second. I feel like I feel like you get this out of the way first. We've seen it enough times. We don't need to see it again, really. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I'm never going to complain with these two. But I just feel like they're the one with Lacey is a better opportunity to have a longer match.
Becky needs to be on Raw. So in theory, she needs to keep the Raw Women's Championship. There's that whole wild card thing and whatever. But she needs to be on Raw. Losing the belt to Charlotte wouldn't be the... Okay, it wouldn't be the worst idea. Internet freaks out, oh my god, Charlotte Flair wins another championship, oh my god, hate. But what if Lacey costs Becky the title, leading to more drama, making Becky an underdog in the match against Lacey, and you do the matches back to back? Because Lacey demands fighting Becky then, because she's hurt, she's worn down, she wants her now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where it gives Lacey the chance to be dominant, have a chance, but also at the end come up short, keeping the belt on Becky. I can see them doing that. But I can also see them not wanting Charlotte to beat Becky.
I feel like Becky is the strongest female star they have right now. She's one of the top stars in the company, taking gender completely out of this. And so it was a huge accomplishment for her to win both titles and to have both titles. Like, she beat Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. This is the pay-per-view right after WrestleMania. And I just feel like having her lose to Charlotte just is not going to do what they want it to do, right? Because I feel like people would riot if Charlotte won again. Because it's like, oh god, not again. Charlotte's champion.
But at some point, SmackDown needs its own champion, and Becky should only have to work one show.
Oh, I completely agree with that, 100%. And this is why I say the placement of these is going to be everything, because what you also have is the Women's Money in the Bank. And who wins the Women's Money in the Bank could very easily come out, and if you're having Becky move to Raw, that opens it up for a SmackDown female to come out and cash in on Becky or Charlotte, whoever wins, and take the title that way. And then that's how you get it out of that situation with Charlotte and Becky, is you do the insta cash in. Whether it's Nikki, whether it's Ember, whether it's Bailey, you know, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a SmackDown superstar cash in on Becky Lynch and take that title from her. And that's how you get her out of that. Like, she's had this grueling match with Charlotte. She can win, you know, maybe Charlotte's the second match, and somebody comes out and just is basically like, kicks her in the face. She's had two matches. She's exhausted. She doesn't have any more in the tank. 1, 2, 3, boom, she's done. It doesn't hurt her, especially if she has two successful title defenses in the same night, to lose to the Money in the Bank, because she's just legit extra tired.
Yeah. All right, who you got?
I want to say Becky.
Both times?
Both times. I do. I mean, it's way too early to put the title on Lacey. Way too early. It's, no. If you're going to have Becky lose a belt, it's going to be the SmackDown title, and it's probably going to be to your Money in the Bank holder, I would suspect. That's my personal opinion. That could be completely wrong, but that's just how I see it.
Going Becky two belts, so retain both. Magic 8-Ball. Will Becky Lynch beat Charlotte Flair and retain the SmackDown Women's Championship at Money in the Bank? Concentrate and ask again. Will Becky Lynch retain the belt on Sunday? No.
Hmm.
Will Becky Lynch retain the Raw Women's Championship on Sunday? Yes.
There you go.
So.
It's agreeing with me. That's scary.
Omega has Becky twice. Mike has Becky twice. Tim has Becky twice. Okay. Next.
Up next, you have the SmackDown title on the line as WWE Champion Kofi Kingston takes on Kevin Owens, the Murder Bear. This has been a good feud. I like how they've built this up. I like how they've done all of this. What should be interesting is if Xavier Woods plays a part in this at all.
Should be. So, it's been announced that WWE is going to Ghana, West Africa, with Kofi Kingston at the end of the month.
Gee.
Kofi Kingston retains the WWE Championship.
Yeah, you don't have him lose the title right now.
And then go to Ghana.
Yeah, you just don't do that. So yeah, for right now, he wins the title and Kevin Owens just kind of has to suck it.
Hey, 8-Ball, will Kofi Kingston retain the title on Sunday? There you go. Going through the group, Omega, Mike, and Tim have Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, there you go. All right, and last but certainly not least.
You skipped a match.
What did I skip?
The men.
Oh, right, that. So, you have in your, maybe not last, but certainly not least, but second to last, you have your men's Money in the Bank match, which features Randy Orton. Oh, let me read this right. Sami Zayn, Ricochet, Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin, Finn Balor, Mustafa Ali, Andrade, and Randy Orton, all vying for that briefcase.
Let's eliminate people.
Well, they already eliminated Braun Strowman, so I mean, well, you know.
Which would then theoretically eliminate Sami Zayn, because Braun would probably kill Sami. In theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Baron, we can eliminate. We can eliminate Randy, right?
Mm-hmm.
As their previous winners.
So is Drew McIntyre, isn't he?
No, never won it. You can put it on Drew and skyrocket him to the moon and put him in a position to be successful. But I don't think he needs it.
No, you can put him in another position and he'd be fine.
Finn Balor's your Intercontinental Champion. I don't think he needs Money in the Bank.
No, they've already got that rock on him and he's making that climb right now.
Then there's Finn Balor. Mustafa Ali. As cool of a story as that would be, just because they've already given the underdog thing to Kofi, Mustafa's not going to be your next WWE champion. I know that breaks a lot of hearts, but that's just a fact.
Hashtag facts.
So, to me, it boils down to Andrade and Ricochet. Ricochet would be really cool with the belt. Could have some great matches with whoever the champion is, whether it's Kofi, whether it's Kevin, whether it's Roman. That'd be really good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Or, Ricochet's on Raw, so it would be Rollins or AJ, whoever. You know what I mean? That'd be really good. And then there's Andrade. I think Andrade is the key. I think with him and Zelina, you could really elevate him to the top position, make him a strong heel champion on that brand. It has the potential. And it doesn't have to be a quick thing. You could save this till October 4th and have him cash in on the debut on Fox. Like, you could make a big splash right there.
Mm-hmm.
On Fox. My brain leads to Andrade. Where does your brain lead?
My brain is taking me to either Ricochet or Andrade. I feel like either one of those would be a very solid choice for Money in the Bank. Andrade is a little bit stronger position than Ricochet. He's kind of poised and ready to get shot to the moon in terms of a push, because there are rumors flying around that he did ask for one, and they told, you know, Vince McMahon gave him a little bit of an insensitive answer, but Andrade did it and he's improved himself. And so I feel like they see that in him and they see that potential. And the pairing with Zelina Vega is just absolute magic. And you can just see her coveting that briefcase for Andrade and eventually either helping him get the win or costing him the win. You don't know, but I can see it being Andrade. On the flip side, you have Ricochet, who is not having the best of luck since losing Aleister Black as a partner. And I feel like maybe he would be a good choice for Money in the Bank, because again, they could do that storyline they love to do with this, like, well, you're not going to win. Look at you. You know, you're tiny or whatever, which I hate that storyline. Don't misquote me at all. Absolutely hate that storyline, but they could do it, right? If they needed to, and kind of make Ricochet into that underdog for Raw that they sort of need. But I feel like, for me, Andrade. It's going to be Andrade. Maybe.
Hey, 8-Ball, will Andrade win Money in the Bank on Sunday? Very doubtful. 8-Ball, will Sami Zayn win Money in the Bank? It is certain.
Ooh, there you go. I can see Sami winning and honestly taunting everybody with it. Like, the male superstars, but like the crowds. Like, oh, hey, look at me. I won, you know, and in that snarkiness that he has, and he kind of taunts everybody with it. So I can see him doing that and it being really good as well. So I certainly don't want to count Sami out, but he's doing such wonderful things that I kind of see it going to Andrade to help sort of give Andrade a lift.
Omega goes Andrade, Mike goes Drew McIntyre. Tim goes Baron Corbin.
Points.
Main event time. Or what we assume the main event is.
And last again, but certainly not least, you have your Universal Champion for Raw, Seth Rollins, taking on AJ Styles. And what is being billed is the first time ever. It's been the first time in a long time for sure. These two have only ever met one other time, and it was in some very, very small promotion at the beginning of their careers. So this could legitimately be considered the first time. This is going to be good as hell.
Should be really good, really fun. 5-star classic. They're going to tear the house down. And it's going to have a clean winner.
It has to.
It has to. There's going to be no shenanigans. You make it precise, the decisive finish in the middle of the ring. Seth Rollins should retain his championship in a fantastic match with AJ Styles.
Yeah, it's just a little early to take that title off of Seth. He needs to kind of have a run with it. And you need to sort of give AJ a break. I mean, as much as I love AJ, he had the SmackDown title for so long. Give Seth a chance with it. Because it has been a while since Seth Rollins has had it. So, yeah. I'm saying Seth retains.
Magic 8-Ball, will AJ Styles win the WWE Universal Championship on Sunday? Outlook's not so good.
Mm-hmm.
The entire WTR crew, Tim, Mike, and Omega, pick Seth Rollins to retain on Sunday.
Mike picked against his boy.
He did.
Wow.
He must know something.
Something's up for sure.
So there you go. Go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork tomorrow and make your picks and all that fun stuff. Do join Pick'em with all of us. And there you have it.
So all right. So I think that does it for us. But you have plugs, don't you?
Make sure you check out the Rack Extra Reviews. SmackDown 20 Years and Counting available now. Check out the Rack Extra Miz and Mrs. Episode 13 now available. Available on Saturday at some point will be the Rack Extra Reviews Self-Help, the Al Snow book. That's right, we're dropping 4 shows in 1 week.
Content. Hashtag content.
Saturday, midnight-ish. CB Radio, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreaterMade.com. Sunday night, when Money in the Bank is over, the Russell Talk Radio will be live to come to break it all down. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review everything that goes down on Money in the Bank. I know, only 4 shows. I know.
We're such slackers, right?
But if you would like to help and support my slacking needs, use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Boom. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lindsay Ward, LNSWRD. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So till then, till next time, next week.
Oh,
what?
Fortnite with Friends, next.
Yes, Fortnite with Friends, next. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.